Before we go any further, I've been told there's a little baby that's just been born that it's only been given a short time to live. So let's just, I don't know the child's name, I don't know where it's from. But we're going to bring it before the Lord, amen. And let's bring these situations before the Lord now. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray, my Lord. I do thank you, Lord God, for who you are and what you've done. I do pray for this child, my Lord God. I don't know who it is or where it's from, my Lord. All we know that it's, Lord God, that we need to pray, my Lord. And I pray, Lord God, because you know all things. And I pray, Lord God, you'd intervene in this situation, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you'd touch this child, my Lord. Lord God, and I ask that you do a work with it, my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me all right? That's all right? All right, Andy? Praise the Lord. I'm going to be reading today from the book of Jonah. Every time I start reading the book of Jonah, I find out more and more and more. So we're going to learn something, God willing, today for ourselves. Praise the Lord. I've enjoyed the convention so far. What's going on, Chris? Are we all right? I've enjoyed the convention so far. It's been good. Thank the Lord for what the Lord's doing amongst us. Praise the Lord. The work of the Lord is still going on, isn't it? Do you know, I want to tell you something. I thank God for this tent. And I thank God for the people that's in it. But the best is still yet to come. The Lord isn't finished with this work. There is still greater things to come. Do you believe that? Praise you, Jesus. Let's turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to read chapter 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish, where he went to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went about and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind onto the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck. He lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up, call upon your God, and maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish.' But the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots and find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots, and the lots fell to Jonah. So they asked him, 'Tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From which are your people?' And he answered, 'I am a Hebrew. I have worshipped the Lord, the God of heaven, the maker of the sea and of the land.' This terrified them, and they asked, 'What have you done?' They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he already had told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so the sailors asked him, 'What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?' 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea,' he replied, 'and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you.' Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, 'O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold this accountable for killing this innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you please.' Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the sea, raging sea, grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah chapter 1. We read at the beginning of Jonah, in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, it says that the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Jonah. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought how the word of the Lord came to this prophet. I've often thought about it. I've wrestled with it. I don't know how it was. But I know that Jonah 100% knew that it was the word of the Lord. Whether it was the voice from heaven, whether it was what we call a Christophany, like Christ in the Old Testament, that he appeared and told him what to do, I don't know, but there was no getting away from it. Jonah knew that the word of the Lord had spoken to him, and he knew that it was the word of God. In 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 28, you read about Jonah there. Now, Jonah, it says that he was a prophet, and he had the same father at this place. But Jonah prophesied at this time in 2 Kings, and the Israelites expanded all their borders. So they grew larger because they listened to what the prophet Jonah had said. So this wasn't Jonah's first time that the word of the Lord has come to him and that he's got to prophesy. This wasn't Jonah's first time. Jonah knew that this was the word of the Lord, definitely. He knew it. See, Jonah was all right prophesying all the time that he liked what he was prophesying. All the time that he liked the word of the Lord, oh, we're going to expand these boundaries, we're going to do this. All the time that Jonah liked what he was hearing, he prophesied. But when God gave him something, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and it was something that Jonah didn't like, he ran from it. Now I want us to think about that for a minute. Does that reflect us in any way? Are we all right obeying God's word all the time we agree with it? Are we all right obeying God's word when we think the word of God is all right? Yeah, that's good. I can see sense in that. I'll do it. But when the word of the Lord tells us to do something that we don't like, are we still in obedience with it? Jackie preached here yesterday and he said, the word of the Lord, the word is true. The word is truth. This word to us as Christians in here, this is our source for life. This is it. If the word of God says it, we are to do it. If the word of God says it's all right for us to do, do you know what that means? It's all right for us to do. If the word of the God says stop, do you know what we should do? Stop. There's no grey areas in this. There's no black or no white. It's not, well, it doesn't really mean that. I can still tell lies to earn a living because it don't really mean that. The word of the Lord says stop, it means stop. That's what it means. We can't have the word of God, we can't just obey a little bit of it, what we like, and ignore the rest. We have to obey the whole word of the Lord. Would you agree with that? You see, Jonah had this come to him, that the word of the Lord come to him, and he didn't like the job at hand. He didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't like that group of people. He hated them because there was a horrible, wicked lot of people. And he knew that if he went there, he knew that God would rescue him. He knew that God would save him. And he hated that idea. He didn't want to do it. But Jonah was given the Great Commission like we are. Jonah was said, go and tell. Go and tell. Not work out who you're going to talk to, not think about who you're going to speak to. Oh, you can tell them and you can't tell others. He was told to just plain and go. Jesus Christ tells us to do the same thing. We are to share God's word. We are to tell all people about the love of Jesus Christ. No matter where they are, no matter what culture they come from, we are to tell all about the love of Jesus Christ. We have not the right to disobey God's word. The Bible says in John that we are his sheep and he is our shepherd. The sheep know his voice and obey him. Do you know the word of the Lord? Do you live in obedience to the word of the Lord? You see, Jonah thought he could run away. He thought that he could run from the word of the Lord. He thought that he could get away from it. There's no getting away from the word of the Lord. It's only to be in obedience to the word of the Lord. Jonah ran. You see, Jonah was told to go 500 miles to the east, and he wanted to go 2,500 miles to the west. He totally wanted to go in a completely different direction. Jonah was running away. Jonah went to a place called Joppa. He walked to this place, Joppa, this seaport. He walked there and he paid his fare. You see, Jonah was going to go on this boat, on this trip, and it would have took between 4 to 6 weeks to go to where he was going. So Jonah had to give good money to get to this place. He had to give good money to go where he was going. He had to be fed and have a bed for 6 weeks or up to 6 weeks. So he'd have had to have paid good money to get to where he was going. I want to tell you something. Just because you're living in a bit of comfort and you have enough money to do the things that you want to do doesn't necessarily mean that's God's will for you. Do you understand that today? Just because you can afford to go and do great things or do what you want, it doesn't mean to say that that is God's will for you. God's will for you is for you to be living in obedience with God's word. That is what God's will is, for you to live in obedience with his word. There is no greater, there's no greater things. We're not looking for no new revelation. Do you know that today? We're not looking for no more new revelations, because it is given to us in his word. The full counsel of God is found here. And we are to put our lives in obedience to his word, not run away from it. The word of God is exactly what it is. It is the word of God. We have to live in obedience to his will and what he wants us from us. Jonah runs, gets on the ship, and the ship sets sail, and away he goes. So there's a storm come, a great wind. This great big storm, this great big wind that has come along, that is moving this boat on these waves like these sailors have never seen. They're so frightened. They earn their money by taking the cargo from one seaport to another. That's how they earn their money. So it would have to be a rough storm for them to be chucking all the cargo out. They're going to travel for 6 weeks and earn nothing. We don't like working for 6 weeks and earning nothing. We wouldn't do it. These was petrified. They started to throw the goods. These are sailors. Do you know, I've been on aeroplane, I flew a few times, and I've always said, listen, there's no, if it's turbulence and the people, the air hostess are still walking up and down, don't really worry. They're walking up and down. They're used to it. If they're not frightened, you shouldn't be frightened. I remember being on a flight and the air hostess was absolutely petrified. They all sat down, they had seatbelts on. They was frightened. I was frightened. I was watching them and I could see the panic on their faces. I can remember being in the aeroplane and it was going through that much turbulence that all the cupboards started flying open. And the people, the air hostess, just left them. They sat down in their seats. We prayed to the Lord greatly in front of everybody that day, me and my wife. But because the people was frightened, we was frightened, I was frightened. Jonah at this point, these sailors that are used to this place, they're frightened, they're throwing the cargo over, they're in fear. But where is the man of God in this? The Bible says that he's asleep in the bottom of the boat. He's asleep in this time. The storm is not waking him up. What did God send this storm for? I'll tell you what God sent this storm for, to put Jonah back on track. And many times God sends storms in my life to make me be more obedient to his word, to bring me back in line to where he wants me. The trouble hits or storms come. And I get back to my knees. I get back to that place, back to that earnestly seeking God. That storm comes in my life and I'm back to that place. But Jonah was in a place a storm had come, and he's still not waking up. What happens to Jonah? An unsaved man comes to Jonah and wakes him up. An unsaved man walks up to Jonah and says to him, "Why do you sleep?" I want to tell you something. There's nothing worse than an unsaved man calling you out for being a Christian. There is no more cutting words you'll ever hear than, "Are you supposed to be a Christian?" Is that not the worst words that you've ever heard in your life? Is that not the most cutting words when you're in a place that you shouldn't be and someone looks at you and goes, "Are you supposed to be a Christian?" Does that not hurt you? Because I've been to that place. I've been in them places where I've been hurt. And Jonah's in this place, asleep in this boat. Where does he get this rest from? Why is he sleeping? Everybody else is frightened and petrified. Jonah's running from the Lord. He's running. He thinks that he can get away from the Lord. This is this great prophet that knew God, and he's running away. Jonah goes, and the sailors said, "Who are you? Where do you come from? Who is your people? Who is your God?" And he starts to explain to them. And they say to him, the unsaved people say to him, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" If you're living in disobedience to God, I'm going to ask you a question, plain and simple. What are you doing? What are you doing? Being a Christian isn't a life choice. Being a Christian is eternity choice. The question isn't, "Oh, I don't really want to be a Christian." The question should be, "Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell?" That's the question. If you want to go to heaven, then live like you're on your way there. If you want to go to hell, do nothing. Just go along with the rest of the world. You'll make it. You want to go to heaven, you live like you're on your way. You live like you're already a citizen belonging to the gates of heaven. You already live like you're already belonging. Jonah ran from the Lord. He thought that he could get away. How was it? "Chuck him over. Chuck me overboard. Throw me overboard. Then the seas will become calm." So the sailors did it. They threw Jonah overboard. Jonah's over now. He's threw into the water. He's swallowed by this fish. Jonah's swallowed by this fish. And the Bible says that the Lord provided a fish for Jonah. That word is provision. The Lord made provision for Jonah. When you read Jonah chapter 2, Jonah says that his head went down to the bottom. He went down to the root of the mountains. His seaweed wrapped around his head. He's in the worstest place that he could be. Listen, I've seen Jaws. I don't like being in open water in England. I don't like being in open water anywhere. A swimming pool's as good as I get, so I can see the bottom and I know what's around me. But Jonah is swallowed by this fish. For me, I can't imagine a more horrible place to be. There's no way out of this. And something Jonah does, Jonah prays. But what does he pray when he says, he starts to pray? Chapter 2, verses right up to chapter 7, it just explains where he's at. Chapter 7 says, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." This is what he prayed. "Those that cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I will sing a song of thanksgiving and sacrifice to you, that I have vowed that I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." Jonah in the belly of the fish starts to pray, and he says something real. He starts to pray something, and he prays. It doesn't seem in character, because if I was in this fish, I'd be saying, "Lord, rescue me. Lord, get me out. Lord, help me." But Jonah prays something else, and he says, "Those that cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that should be there, or forfeit the loving kindness that should be theirs. You see, the minute that Jonah turned his face to the Lord and started to pray, God was sharing his heart with him. God showed him how God felt amongst the Ninevites. The Ninevites was people that worship gods, worship idols. You see, Jonah started to pray, and the minute that he started to pray, God shared his own heart with him. And Jonah realized something. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He realized that God was loving and kind. Jonah was in this place because of Jonah's disobedience. He wasn't in this place because God is an hateful and horrible God. Jonah was in this position because Jonah led himself there. But the minute that he started to pray, he understood God's own heart. You see, Jonah wasn't a man that worshipped idols, but Jonah was sent to people that worshipped idols. And Jonah, when he started to pray, he realized his calling once again. Those that cling to worthless idols forsake the grace that should be theirs. Inside the belly of the fish, Jonah prays this. And it was this prayer that Jonah prayed, then that fish spit him out on that seashore once again. Jonah then goes to Nineveh and he preaches. But I want to tell you something that I believe is the most beautiful verse in the whole book of Jonah. It's Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1. It says this: the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord. Do you get that? Do you understand that? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I want to tell everybody here that my God is the God of a second chance. My God is a God of another chance. My God is a God that is willing, when I'm willing to put right what's wrong, he is willing to forgive. My God is a God that when I've made my mistakes, when I'm shipwrecked, when I'm broken in pieces, when I'm at the end of my life and my life's nearly all over, when I've lived the life that I want to live and I know that I've been in direct disobedience to God, when I know that I'm going the wrong way, when I come back to my senses and focus my attention back on the Lord, when I would pray that prayer of repentance once again, I know that my God is able to restore me to do the job that he has called me to do. And that is why my God is the God of a second chance. He's a God of another chance. You're living a life that's in direct denial of God and you're running away from him. Come back to your senses. Don't worry what man's going to say. You start serving my God once again. You put right what's wrong and serve him once again. He is able to restore. He is able to use this broken vessel once again. When you look at Jonah, where was he at? His life was over. Nowhere to go. Inside the fish, going to be digested. Soon, his life was going to end. But when he remembered the Lord, the Lord restored him to the place that he wanted him to be. Do you need that today? Do you need that? Is that what you're in this meeting for today? You're in this place. God knew what I was going to be bringing. Are you here for this very reason? Do you need restoring? Do you need to wake up, put yourself back in obedience with God's word, put right what's wrong, brush yourself back down, and start serving the Lord the way that you should. Today, there isn't no more beautiful message than this, that my God is the God of a second chance. He's a God of another chance. And today, if you're in this place, and this word has spoke to you, that you need to be restored, put your feet back onto that road once again, broken, a mess. Do you know that you're not too far gone that God can't reach you? I want to tell you this. There is nothing that you can do that can make God love you less. Did you hear that? There's nothing that you can do that make God love you less. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. He's already in love with you. But you have to be in obedience. His love for me is not on question. It's my love for him. Because the word of God says, if you
If you say that you love me, you would obey my commands. Plain and simple. You cannot be in this place and say that you're a Christian, that you love God, and live in direct disobedience to his word. Brothers and sisters, people in this place today, my God is able to restore the worst of cases. He is able to put back what's broke. He is able to fix all the years that you're burning away on, just wasting. He is able to restore you, make you useful once again. Do you want that? Is that you? Let's pray. Let's all pray. If the word of the Lord has spoken to you, then I'm going to ask you to come to the front, just plain and simple, and we will pray with you. If the word of God has spoken to you, not the way that I've made it sound, but if the word of God has spoken to you, if this is what you need, then take it like this is what the Lord wants from you. Put yourself back in obedience with the Lord. Start serving him once over.